Welcome to this week's Bible in the News. As we continue to watch the unfolding debate on free speech that Dave spoke about last week, following the assassination of Charlie Kirk, this week we turn our attention to the second state visit made by the U.S. President to King Charles III and the special relationship shared between the U.S. and the U.K. But before we speak about this, we want to reflect on the purpose of Bible prophecy, and why these things interest us on this program. Bible prophecy enables us to see the character of the powers and significance of the events of our world today, from the divine point of view rather than by current appearances, from an unenlightened human point of view. Often the human perspective is the opposite of what one may see through a divine lens. For the human point of view is of them that call evil good and good evil, as we read in Isaiah 5 and verse 20. We see the difference in the record when Samuel is sent by God to choose a king to replace Saul. When Samuel looks at David's big older brother, thinking he would be a good king, the Lord says to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And the same principle applies to how we understand and look at events in the world around us. And so Bible prophecy enables us to see God's plan. Therefore, we understand that we should not live as though our life will continue on as it always has. We understand that this life is only temporary. By faith, we have the long view, the eternal view of Abraham, who lived waiting for a better endless life in the land of promise. And so Bible prophecy builds our confidence in the truth of God's word when we can see the angels and the risen Lord Jesus at work in world affairs, fulfilling the prophecies recorded by the inspiration of God thousands of years ago. In this way, when we see things like a restored nation of Israel back in their ancient land, as God said, over 2,000 years ago, we understand that it is God's work, and His word is living and powerful. The time is coming closer when God will intervene in human affairs, as He has promised, and the present world order will be dissolved, as we read about in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, speaking of the political heavens as also represented in Isaiah chapter 1. And the new world order will replace it under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is intended for us to have this kind of understanding is clearly stated in the Bible. And so if you turn to Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, you'll read there, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." And so God has made known what his plans are. We read in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will, and sets up over it the basest of men." Therefore, we should expect that God has a plan which he is working to execute, and the messages revealed to his prophets, including his son, are preserved in the Bible, as we also see in its last book, reading from Revelation 1, verses 1 and 2. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. And so, for the past 2,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ has been involved in the fulfillment of this prophecy and its development in world affairs. Bible prophecy then enables us to see clearly God's purpose in our modern world, with the restored nation of Israel, and who the enemy is. Therefore, in the Bible, we learn that God foretold the destiny and character of certain nations, specifically those who have played a key role in his unfolding plan. He has given us a blueprint of how history would unfold, including in the prophecies of Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. So, for example, we learn from the visions of Daniel, chapters 2 and 7, that the Babylonians, Medes, Persians, Greeks, and Romans would be successive powers that would constitute the kingdom of men, fierce persecutors of the saints, of his people Israel, and in the latter days would fall and be replaced by the kingdom of God. These visions extend to our day, where in the iron clay feet of that image revealed in Daniel and 10 horns of the fourth beast, as we see in Daniel 7, we see the modern successor of ancient Rome in Catholic Europe. And so, reading from Daniel 7, verses 21 to 23, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And we read in verses 14 and 18 that this possession of the kingdom was to be forever. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. That is, it would be the fourth kingdom from the time of when Daniel was there in Babylon receiving this image, the fourth kingdom, of course, being the power of Rome, as also represented in the iron legs of Daniel's image. So Bible prophecy also reveals to us that Britain and the merchant trading nations she is allied with, including the United States, will ultimately stand aside from Israel's enemies. We understand this from reading Ezekiel 38, and other supporting scriptures. So when we see friendship continuing between the likes of the UK and the US, as we did this past week with Trump's UK visit, despite all the rhetoric around tariffs, and on Thursday last week, the United States vetoing another United Nations Security Council resolution against Israel, we are encouraged to see that the divine plan is continuing as expected. The following was written in 1992 in the Christadelphian magazine regarding Ezekiel 38, this chapter that we were just talking about, and the merchants of Tarshish, and continues to hold true today despite ever-changing political conditions. I quote, this Tarshish is said to be the home of merchant nations, Ezekiel 38, verse 13. A possessor of seagoing ships, Isaiah 60, verse 9, a helper of the Jewish people, and in particular the nation that brings the Jewish people home, Isaiah 60, verse 9 again, a protector of weaker nations, as is suggested by the phrase young lions. It is, moreover, friendly with the nations of the Arabian Peninsula. See notes on Sheba and Dedan. Tarshish is stationed somewhere in the Middle East when Gog invades. The merchants of Tarshish say to Gog, why have you come? Today, the USA and the UK fit all these clues. They have been the dominant merchant sea powers in the last century. They have taken it in turn to support and help the Jews. It was the British who, by the Balfour Declaration, facilitated the return of the Jews to their land. Ever since World War II, the Americans have provided money and military support. End quote. And we see this continuing on to this very day, don't we? Just as we said in the events of the past week. We have seen this in the speeches given by the King of Great Britain and the President of the United States. So let's listen to King Charles and President Trump as they highlight the strong bond and special relationship shared by their two countries. First, King Charles.
Mr. President, this is Trump. It is with great pleasure that my wife and I welcome you to Windsor Castle on this, your second state visit to the United Kingdom. This unique and important occasion reflects the enduring bond between our two great nations, anchored by the deep friendship between our people. This relationship, which with good reason, we and our predecessors have long called special, has made us safer and stronger through the generations. Our people have fought and died together for the values we hold dear. We have innovated, traded, and created together, fueling our economies and cultures through myriad forms of exchange. We have celebrated together, mourned together, and stood together in the best and worst of times.
The legal, intellectual, cultural, and political traditions of this kingdom have been among the highest achievements of mankind. There's really never been anything like it. The British Empire laid the foundations of law, liberty, free speech, and individual rights virtually everywhere the Union Jack has ever flown, including a place called America. You know that place very well, don't you? His Majesty spoke eloquently about the bond which inspired Sir Winston Churchill, and the bust is in the Oval Office right now, the beautiful bust of Winston Churchill, to coin the phrase special relationship. But seen from American eyes, the word special does not begin to do it justice. We're joined by history and fate, by love and language, and by transcendent ties of culture, tradition, ancestry, and destiny. We're like two notes in one chord, or two verses of the same poem, each beautiful on its own, but really meant to be played together. The bond of kinship and identity between America and the United Kingdom is priceless and eternal. It's irreplaceable and unbreakable. And
the words of these men has given witness to the truth of the Bible, as they have spoken of the shared destiny of their two nations and the special relationship, a trade relationship, that has existed between them for hundreds of years. As the earlier magazine quotation mentioned, over the years, these Tarshish nations have also helped Israel to become what it is today. We witnessed this again this past week at the UN Security Council, where the US again used its veto to help Israel.
Those against.
US opposition to this resolution will come as no surprise. It fails to condemn Hamas or recognize Israel's right to defend itself, and it wrongly legitimizes the false narratives benefiting Hamas, which have sadly found currency in this council. Council members ignored when the United States made clear that this resolution was unacceptable. The council instead adopted for performative action designed to draw a veto that extends Hamas terrorists and those who fund them and support them and gives them a lifeline.
Those who listen to what the prophets have said in the Holy Scriptures will not be surprised by these events that we've seen this past week. The alliances we see between the Tarshish and Young Lion nations, such as the United Kingdom and the United States, those who have supported Israel, as well as those who are her enemies, such as Persia or Iran, are exactly in line with what Bible students have expected for centuries. It is for this reason that we continue to watch world events with the Bible in hand. This has been Daniel Billington with you this week for another edition of the Bible in the News.